Special with Crystal and Heather.
Thank you. Good job. Amen. All right, if you have your bulletin, we'll go over the announcements. The first thing I want to do is kind of set the stage for what's going on this week. When we finish here, I'm not sure how complete cleaning up has been done. So if you could stay and help us clean up there, get tables and stuff put away, I appreciate it. Maybe they're going to have most of it done. I don't know, but we need to do that. All right, starting tomorrow evening, we'll be running our youth programs similar to what we do on Wednesday night. We need drivers and assistant people to leave here at 6 and go pick them up. Now, tomorrow afternoon, hey, raise your hand, Jim. There's Jim Leslie back there. He and I and whoever else, we're going to be out passing out flyers, informing the kids and calling them on the phone and letting them know they'll be picked up. We'll also be having a pizza party for them as soon as they get here. Then the older kids will be in here at 7 o'clock with the adults. The younger kids will be downstairs with Jim or wherever he decides to take them, and he'll need some help with that. That'll be our program every night. So we're going to get the word out. Even today in junior church, they're going to talk to them. And tomorrow afternoon, we'll be passing out flyers and telling them, spreading the word over town. And then through the week, we'll be running it similar to what we do on Wednesday night, except we'll have the older kids up here. All right? Everybody got that? So we need your help, and we appreciate what you do. All right, all the announcements in the bulletin there. Remember the places and times. Raise your hand, Brother Jared. Jared's our evangelist this week. He's been out in California, been back preaching tonight over in Altoona, but he'll be here tomorrow night, be preaching each evening. He'll be staying here throughout the week, and we're very happy to have him. He had just recently, this year, surrendered to full-time evangelism. He worked at the Altoona Rescue Mission. He's also a part of Central Pennsylvania Bible Conference. He works there with youth people, and we've had him in our church before, and I know you'll appreciate him bringing the message this evening. So we're looking forward to time of revival. We want to make as much of an impact as we can. By the way, tomorrow night, the kids will be having their pizza before the service. So as soon as they get in here at 6:30, they're going to have pizza. I don't know what we're doing on Tuesday night, but on Wednesday night, we're having ice cream for them and for their workers. If there's anything left, the rest of you people can get it. But we want to make sure we get them some. And we'll be doing something those other nights as well. So that's kind of what's going on there. In just a moment, we're going to have the children up here singing. And we appreciate all of you. And really, clear your calendar. Cancel the appointments you got. Tell people to come to church with you. We still have flyers out there to pass out for the revival. We're going through Thursday night. That's four nights. We really need to concentrate. We can't let down. Things terrible are happening all around the world. And if ever there was a time God's people ought to be standing up and getting the word out, it is now, because we could be living in the last days. Jesus said, lift up your heads, your redemption draweth nigh. So that's kind of our announcements. I'll be on the radio according to the schedule. I think sometimes my schedule changes. I have no control over that over at Chambersburg. But when I get to replace a senator, I feel pretty good about that. So they can move me around any place they want to. So I got to replace a senator the week before last. So there's a guy running, Scott Wagner, running for governor. And he and I are supposed to get together and be on the news sometime soon. So you'll be hearing about that. I'm looking forward to working with him because he's a great guy. And we're looking forward to him getting elected and being the next governor of the state of Pennsylvania. Amen. And this past week, the announcer over there, Pat, gave a live testimony on the radio that Fulton County and Calvary Independent Baptist Church was the central catalyst that prayed and brought Trump into the presidency, because Fulton County did Pennsylvania and Pennsylvania did the rest of the nation. That was his assessment of it. That's how important these things are and how important it is for us to pray and keep on praying. Amen? Thank you for all you do. I have the best job in the whole world. I don't even consider it a job. I get to do this and have fun doing it and get to meet all you people and work for you people and work with you. What a great time we're having. Can't wait till we get to heaven and see how good it's going to be over there. This time we'll wait on you for your morning tithes and offering. Gentlemen, would you come, please? The troops are getting restless, so we better move along. They're more excited about it than some of the adults. Brother Jim, so good to have you all the way from Mountain, Indiana. Appreciate Jim. He just comes and helps me out anytime I ask him, and what a great guy to be around. How about having our morning prayer?
Gather on the Bible and study what you've done for us and what you've done for our lives. As was mentioned, I will not.
Amen. Hold on. We need to have an encore of that, don't you think?
Yeah.
Well, at least Bill and I think so. All right, let's do that again. That's a great job. You guys can do that again? Okay, let's try it again. Jason?
Thank you.
Okay, while they're going back to their seats, turn in your hymnal. All the way in the back of your hymnal, there's a loose leaf, 10,000 angels. It'll have number 94 on it. We only have time for one verse, so we'll sing the third verse. All the way in the back of your hymnal, Junior Church may be excused at the same time. And let us stand. Third verse.
To the howling of the yielded, he did not for mercy cry. The cross of Jamie took alone. And when he cried, it's finished, he gave himself to die. Salvation's wondrous plan was gone. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me.
Thank you. May be seated. I think most of you, or at least a lot of you, have met Brother Jared before, and you've heard him preach here when he used to bring his guys down from Altoona. But he's had a lot more experience since then, going into evangelism. But if you stutter or stalled a little bit, I'm here to back you up, okay? I've always been good at that, but I'm just kidding with Jared. We're looking forward to having him this week, and this just be a beginning of you getting a taste of it. I didn't introduce any of the visitors. I think all of you have been here before. Nice to see your family back there, Edna. I'm glad to have all those kids sitting beside you and grandkids. Thank you for bringing them, and hope you all felt welcome. You missed a bang-up breakfast, I'll tell you. And I ate your part, too. What I didn't eat, Ray did, I think. So we'll invite you again the next time. All right. Without any further ado, Brother Jared, come and give us the Word of God as it's laid on your heart.
Thank you, Pastor Hodge. And Pastor Hodge has been such a blessing to me and my family. My wife, man, I enjoyed that song there by the children because it reminded me of my 2-year-old and my 3-year-old. And you will meet them soon when my son gets here. I think he's playing this year on the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm not sure. He's 2. I promise you, he's 2 when you see him. He is just the biggest 2-year-old I've ever seen in my life, to be honest with you. But we're so delighted to be here in McConnellsburg. We've been praying for this revival for weeks and months now. And it was 5 or 6 months ago when we surrendered to the call to go into full-time evangelism and youth and revival ministry with Way of Truth Ministries with Pastor Gary Dull out of the Faith Baptist Church of Altoona. Some of you may have heard of him before. That one of the first pastors that called me and said, would you come to our church and preach a revival in April was Pastor Hodge. And it's one thing when you get excited about a new calling in your life and you go to different pastors and different Christians and they say, oh, that's wonderful, we're praying for you. And it's another blessing when they go a step further and say, would you come and preach your first revival meeting outside of your church there in McConnellsburg. And so you remember us being at the Altoona Rescue Mission for 2.5 years, and the Altoona Rescue Mission is continuing to go very well, as far as I know. But now we are doing Generation Next Youth and Revival Ministry. You know, it's important that we reach the next generation, because if we don't, we're not going to have a church. It's important that we look behind us, because as we saw today, perfect illustration, there are those young people coming up after us. And if we don't give them anything that's true and real and consistent, they're not going to want any of it. And so we are so thankful again to be here and just excited, looking forward to the week ahead of us. My wife will be here starting tomorrow night, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I hope you'll come out and maybe you'll invite some lost people, because I'm going to be sharing my testimony. And I know some of you have already heard that before, but I'm going to be sharing. The Lord just put on my heart to share it a few times. And by the way, remember the day you got saved. It never gets old, does it? It should never get old, the day we got saved and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Luke chapter 24. We're going to kind of work our way backwards from Luke chapter 24 to Luke 23. I didn't get a chance to have the food, but from what I hear, it's the best food around in this whole tri-state area. That's what Pastor Hodge says. So they have a plate for me afterwards. I hope and pray, and I'm looking forward to eating afterwards and tasting some of the McConnellsburg food. Luke chapter 24, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Turn with me, if you would, over to Luke 23. And we're just going to jump straight into the chapter and look down there in verse number 21. The people, they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, Why, what evil hath he done? This is Pilate speaking, as you know. And Pilate says, I found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. By the way, thank God Jesus, at any point in time, he could have said, You know what? I don't really feel like doing this today. Aren't we glad he kept on going to the cross? The Bible says there in verse 23, And they were instant with loud voices requiring that he might be crucified, and the voices of them and the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required, and he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. Verse 27. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. And by the way, sometimes we don't even do that. Verse 29, For behold, the days are coming, in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? But I want to point out in the message today, just for a few moments, the next following verses. Because something interesting happens here in verse 32. There are also two other malefactors, and that's a big word that means criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left, then said, Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. Verse 39. And one of the malefactors, the criminals, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Father, this morning, I pray that you'd help us as we look into your word. I know that you have something for every single person that you brought to church here today. Father, we're thankful that you died on the cross for our sins. We're even more thankful that you were buried and rose again on the third day. And I pray, like as we heard in the earlier service, that every Sunday morning and every day, we would celebrate your resurrection. Pray that you would move in the service this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the story about the two thieves. The two criminals that were on the side of Jesus. And I don't know about you, but to have the audacity after you were rightly put there on one of the three crosses to even be mocking anybody is something else, isn't it? I mean, that takes a lot of audacity to be one of these criminals on both sides of Jesus, railing on Him, mocking Him, and saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself. And I know you know the story. But something very interesting with one of the two thieves in particular takes place while they are both railing on Jesus. The Bible says in verse 40 that one of them said, "Dost not thou fear God?" to the other. Jesus is in the middle. These two criminals, rightly put there, are having a conversation with each other now. And one of them has a change of heart while he's hanging on his cross, looking at Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews, being crucified. And by the way, there were many crucifixions during that time. This was just another day for the Romans. But what was even greater for Jesus Christ was that He took on our sin. The Bible says He became sin for us. Now, I just think about my sin. My sin could go around the block several times. How about it? And so can yours. But think about all the way back from Adam, all the way until the last human being that takes a breath on planet Earth, all the sin of the world was put on Jesus Christ. And here you have these two this conversation happening with these two thieves on both sides of Jesus. And what I want to submit to you this Easter morning is that you and I are either one or the other of the two thieves. We, in our sins, the Bible says, God settles the whole matter in Romans 3:23. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." When I was working for 2.5 years at the Altoona Rescue Mission, the hardest time I had, the biggest trouble I had, was trying to convince people that they were lost. Isn't that something? Most of us know we've done something wrong. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." What kind of person thinks they've never done anything wrong? I know people are looking at me and they go, "You've definitely done something wrong." Jesus took on Him the sin of the whole world. My sin. By the way, we need to make the crucifixion and the resurrection personal. Amen. This man says in verse 41 to the other criminal, "We deserve to be here." That's basically what he's saying. Look at verse 42, if you would. Chapter 23. "And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Isn't that something? A few minutes ago, this criminal, hanging on the other side of Jesus, was railing on Him. Something happened to this one thief on the cross, watching Jesus suffer, the innocent Lamb of God. And he had no idea at the beginning of his crucifixion who it was hanging next to him. But that's what happens when we start to surrender to the convicting hand of God on our lives. It happens suddenly. It happens subtly. The Holy Spirit of God starts to convict us of sin. And when we yield to that conviction, the Lord moves. I can testify my own story. I grew up in a very, very conservative Christian church. When I was 8 years old, we had a preacher come to our church from the south, waving around his handkerchief everywhere, talking about hell and talking about heaven. And I remember just being a young boy, but really listening for the first time. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And this man was up there talking about heaven, and this man was up there talking about hell. And he said, if you don't have your sins forgiven, God forbid something was to happen to you today, and you died, he said, you would go to hell. But you don't have to go to hell. He said, God made a way when He sent His Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sins. He was buried and rose again. And He said, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you could have your sins forgiven, your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and when you die, you can go to heaven. After the service, I ran up to my dad, and I said, Dad, that man tonight, he was talking about a place called heaven and a place called hell. And my dad says, yes, he was. I said, Dad, I don't want to die and go to hell. I was 8 years old. I said, I don't want to die and go to hell. I said, would you please, I said, get me saved. What do I have to do to get saved? And my dad told me, shared the gospel with me, and said, just believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. And we prayed right there on the floor, August 2nd, 1992. Surrendered to the call to preach the gospel when I was 15. Everything was looking wonderful until I started hanging out with the wrong crowd. By the way, when you start hanging out with the wrong crowd, you start going to the wrong places, you start doing the wrong things. Talk to me this morning. And that's what I started doing. And when I turned 18, due to some different crises and things that happened in my life, which I'll share over the course of this next week, I turned 18 and I had it made up in my mind, I'm done with church. I saw that people were actually being real Christians and weren't really living a consistent Christian life. They lived like the devil from Monday to Saturday. And they came to church. And it was like, how are you doing? Great, how are you? And then Sunday after Sunday, I would see that. Great, how are you? And it was like, man, we can't be real here. You can't be real at church. Where can you be real at? And I started seeing that as an 18-year-old. And I had it made it up in my mind. I'm going to Hollywood. Ever heard of that place? And I said, what I'm going to do, yeah, I could sing a little bit. I said, I'm going to join some rock bands. I said, I'm going to go in the opposite direction. And I'm going to try all this world, evil, Satan stuff. And I went up to Hollywood and I joined several different rock bands. And over the course of several years, got tattooed, had all this, hooked on drugs. Had a $500,000 contract hanging over my head, music contract. But guess what? I had no peace. I had no peace. Isn't that something? How do you have a $500,000 contract you're about to sign and no peace? Well, if you're a Christian and you're running away from the Lord and you really are a Christian, then the Holy Spirit of God is going to convict you. And He's going to tell you you're running the wrong way. I was laid out on an apartment weeks away from signing the contract. And Pastor Hodge, I just laid out on the ground in my apartment. And this was rock bottom for me. How many of you ever hit rock bottom before? Scary thing about that is sometimes you don't come back. Not everybody that hits rock bottom gets to come back. And I was laid out on my apartment floor, running away from God, knew it. Oh, it's a terrible thing to get convicted. And I would get convicted from time to time and know. How many of you know what I'm talking about? No one raises their hand. I would just know, man, I know God has a plan for me and I'm running. Being in bars, convicted, knowing I'm in the wrong place. And here I am, laid out in my apartment, looking up at a bottle of pills, by the way. Moments away from saying, I'm going to end it all. suffering a severe depression. And you know what God was doing? He was trying to get my attention. How many of you know God can get your attention? Amen. Amen. I was laid out on the apartment floor, and for the first time in a long time, I was listening. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, Jared, you can do this your way, or you can do this my way. And if you do it your way, you're going to meet me in a few minutes. But if you do it my way, I'll show you my purpose in life for you. Interestingly enough, I thought of my mother. And mothers in here, grandmothers in here, that's why it's so important you don't give up on your grandson. Mothers in here, that's why it's so important you don't give up on your daughter. Because when I was laid out in the apartment, minutes away from ending my life, the Lord put my mother on my heart. Why? Because even through all of my backsliding, my mom would come up to me and say, I'm praying for you, son. God still has a plan for you. I say, what are you saying? Look at me. And I mean, covered in tattoos, fingernails painted black, bandana on. My mom said, God has a plan for you, son. I said, what are you saying, Mom? Look at me. And she never gave up on me. We write people off too fast. Aren't you thankful God didn't write you off? And then, God forbid, they come into the church house looking like the world just chewed them up and spit them out, but we've been praying for them to come. Then they come in and get judged. We need to be careful. One of the biggest reasons I was so fearful to go back to church was because of the way I looked. And everybody's going to say all this stuff. But listen, I think God has a sense of humor. I mean, He called me to preach. But look, the Lord's using me. He can use you. Hey, if He can use me. He can use anybody. And that's the power of the resurrected Christ. Here are these two thieves on both sides of the cross. Both are railing against Jesus Christ. And one of them says, He is the Son of God. And one of them starts having a conversation with the other one. Let's look at it real quick. I'm watching your time. Verse number 40, and says to the other one, Does not thou fear God? And you know what? The fear of God really is where everything starts, isn't it? I mean, if you're a Christian or not a Christian here this morning, let me tell you, the fear of God is where everything starts. When we look at sin like God looks at sin, and we stop treating it like a cream puff and start treating it like a rattlesnake, we're going to live differently. When we look at life the way God looks at it, that life is a vapor. Somebody this morning was just sharing me a story about how someone they love, someone in their family has some kind of a cancerous brain tumor, and it just came on all of a sudden like that. And you can go from being here today, from being gone today. And this thief on the cross said to the other one, Dost not thou fear God? By the way, God was right next to him. Hello. You say, God's far away from me this morning. Listen, God is very close, and maybe closer than you think this morning to you. You are not here by chance this morning. I come every Easter. You are not here by chance this morning. God doesn't do chance. You're here for a reason. God has a message for you today. And the message is this. If you're not saved, He loved you so much, He went to the cross for you. I make it personal. I have to make it personal. Because you can't serve the Lord for other people. Talk to me this morning. You've got to make up in your mind, if you're going to serve the Lord, you're doing it for the Savior that went to the cross for you. If you were the only person in the world, Jesus would have went to the cross and died for you. I have to make it personal like that because there's so much battle and opposition when you're in ministry and you're going around preaching to other people and teenagers and trying to tell them that drugs has nothing for you. Money won't get you anything. Fame won't get you anything. It's empty. Sleeping around won't get you anything. Jesus Christ is the only hope. Jesus Christ is the only real life there is. Back there over in chapter 24. Down there in verse number 5. It's a very interesting question those two angels asked. They said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" Can I get your attention for a moment this morning? We seek the living among the dead too much. You say, "What are you saying?" I'm saying this. We want hope, and looking for hope, we abuse prescription pills. We want hope and life, and looking for life, we choose alcohol. Which, by the way, all those things are dead. Spiritually speaking, talk to me this morning, they're dead. They are not going to do anything for you. Go talk to someone that's in the hospital, dying from some kind of drug-related disease. They will tell you, drugs have nothing for you. I am living proof. Drugs will destroy you and will kill you. Why seek you the living among the dead? I want to say this. There are three things in closing that I want to give you that this thief on the cross that had a change of heart knew. He knew, number one, he knew his sins needed to be paid for. He knew his sins needed to be paid for, and he realized at some point hanging on the cross that the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, was next to him. And that's how simple it is. You're coming to church over and over and over again, and you're not really getting anything. And you leave and you go back and live the same way you're living. And then one day you come to church, and the Holy Spirit of God convicts your heart, and you respond. And all conviction is just being honest with God. All conviction is just telling God the truth. And then something happens in your heart. And you surrender to that conviction. And you surrender to God. And if you're not saved, you realize that you need a Savior. And His name is Jesus. And He has risen again. Have you talked to Him this morning? The power of the resurrected Christ is this. He can take a sinful man or woman, take them out of a sinful world, make them holy, and put them back into a sinful world and keep them holy. The power of the resurrected Christ is God can give you freedom from any kind of sin that you feel has enslaved you lately. And I know I've been talking about drugs, but how about bitterness? How about unforgiveness? I had somebody for a long time I didn't want to forgive. And then the Lord showed me one day, "Jared, the forgiveness is for you, buddy. It's not for them. It's for you." So liberating when you can finally forgive someone. The forgiveness is for you this morning. You say, "Well, I'm mad at God. I'm angry at God." God didn't take your loved one. Sin did. Sin is in the world. And the Bible says death is in the world because of sin. God is not mad at you this morning. God loves you. God is not angry with you this morning. God loves you. And He loves you so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. He was buried, and He rose again. He lives today. Number one, He said, He knew his sins needed to be paid for. Number two, he was a sinner in need of a Savior. And lastly, he knew the answer was Christ. It's not good enough, in closing, it's not good enough to have head knowledge. I know, we talk to people sometimes, say, do you know if you die today, you're going to go to heaven? They say, yeah, I believe in God. I say, hold on a second. What'd you say? They say, yeah, I believe in God. But the Bible says over in James chapter 2, verse 19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. It's not good enough just to have head knowledge of a Creator God. I heard recently, I'll share the story in closing. Please listen. You never listen to anything in this message. Listen to this. Bible college students going to Bible college and getting a 4-year Bible school degree. Husband and wife. Years after getting saved. You say, what? This guy was a principal of a school? Christian school? Him and his wife one day realized they weren't saved. You say, what happened? It was up here. It's never here. There's a lot of people that are in hell today that had head knowledge. I know Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. I know there's a real God. And I'm a good person, so I'll go to heaven. Those kind of people die and go to hell. Make sure this Easter Sunday, it's not just head knowledge. You believe it with your heart. And when you believe it with your heart, you'll live it with your life. Heard of a pastor. A pastor. Been pastoring for over 30 years. Had a preacher come through, give an invitation. At the altar call, this pastor went forward. At the end of the service, the visiting preacher said, is there something I could pray for you about? The pastor was bawling his eyes out. Pastor Hodge, he said, you can pray for me. I need to get saved. I've been going all these years just kind of coasting along with all this Bible knowledge up here. But I never made the decision in my heart. And he got saved that day. I want to tell you this morning, God has a plan for you. I wrote a little poem called One Life to Live. You only have one life to live and time is passing by. The devil keeps distracting you with money, toys, and lies. You only have one life to live. The world says, live it up. But one day, you will answer for the life you've lived on earth. You only have one life to live. What will you choose today? Will you ignore this message and say all will be okay? Or will you choose eternal life by trusting in Jesus Christ? You can be saved and be set free. He's risen. He's risen indeed. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning. As the instruments begin to play, I wonder as we start off this revival, just feel led this morning to kind of start at the cross. And maybe you can ask yourself the question, has this been head knowledge that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me? Has it just been head knowledge? I know He rose again. Has it just been head knowledge? I know God loves me. Have you ever made the decision in your heart to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? My prayer to you this morning is don't wait another minute. You're sitting there in your seat today. And you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. It is so simple. But it's not a decision we make with our head. It's a decision we have to make with our heart. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you're under the sound of my voice and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're saying, I don't really know how to pray, I don't really know how to start, would you pray with me right now if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior and you want to be saved today? And you could pray a prayer in faith and say, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins and save me. Out of respect for the person sitting next to you, no one looking around, please. I'm only going to ask you because I want to pray for you. Is there anybody in here you just prayed that prayer for the first time? Thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else in here? If you're here this morning and you're a Christian, you say, I made the decision to get saved in my heart years ago. And I'll be honest with you, Jared, I have been running. I have been not walking with God in a long time. But something this morning was said, and God's using it to work in my heart this morning. Can I just see your hand if that's you? Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. God bless you. Honesty. Lord, you see the hands, but even more importantly, you see the hearts. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. Thank you for rising again. Thank you that we can see the power of the resurrected Christ in our lives if we're willing to surrender our lives to you and live for you. In Jesus' name. Thank you.